All right, we're ready.
Hey, good evening, Rabbi Isai. I'm enjoying, I have to tell you, the daily, you know, tefillah get-together. It's not exactly a minyan, but it's already a little bit more normal. You daven in a normal fashion. There's a time, it starts. There's a chazan, you go along together with each other. So I encourage you, all of you, really, to try it out and participate. I found it very, very uplifting for my personal tefillahs. And I look forward to it each morning to be able to participate. Tomorrow morning, the chazan is Rabbi Yitzchak Pachka, as it's Hashem, will be the chazan tomorrow. So that's at 8 a.m. We're going to get together. We're starting the fourth parak, which is the parak in Ovos for this coming Shabbos. And it starts off, it's interesting that we have the first two Mishnayos, parak Dalet, we have Ben Zayma Omer and Ben Azai Omer. Now, it's, but two things are curious about this. We only relate the father's name. We do not relate what their name was. And secondly, in general, throughout Pirkei Avos, for example, if you go to Mishnah Dalet, yeah, Rabbi Levite Levin Levitis, Ish Yavna, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broicha, Mishnah Rabbi Shaul Benoy Omer, everyone's Rebbe. So here we have two things. They don't have their name. And they're different from all the other Tanoim that they're not called Rebbe. What's the reason for this? And the Rav and his Perush tells us, with Shelo Herach Yomim, they did not live long lives. Velo Nismach Sheikra Rebbe, and he didn't reach the point in life that they gave him smicha to call him Rebbe. And therefore, Yukoron Oysa Hashem Ovid. So to honor him, I guess they called him by the name of his father, was Ben Azai Ben Zayim. Bechain ben Azai, Ushneim Shmom Shimon. Actually, the name was Shimon. Shimon ben Zayman, Shimon ben Azai. Now, it's very instructive that Ben Zayman, such a young Tana, is the Tana of this Mishnah, as we're going to see. The lesson that he teaches is particularly striking because it comes from Ben Zayman. Ben Zayman Omer, Eizahu Chochom. People strive in life, generally speaking, for a few things. They want to be considered wise. They would like to be powerful. They would like to be wealthy. And they would like to be honored. Those are the things that people generally spend most of their life doing. And a lot of life is a trade-off between how much money a person wants and how much cover a person wants. So if a person's Zoychan, I put that in quotes, but then he can have maybe a lot of money and a lot of coke. But generally speaking in life, people trade one for the other. The people that is below their dignity to do certain jobs, even though they could make significant amounts of money, because their social standing is more important. And there are people that don't worry about the social standing so much, they're more interested in the money. And he'd rather run a sanitation company and make big bucks, then be an office white-collar worker and make smaller bucks and have a white collar and be more honored. So that's a trade-off that people make in life. But the question is, how to define what's chochmah, how to become a chochmah, and what is a chochmah? Eizahu chochmah. And as the Tiferes Yisrael, is a very beautiful explanation of this mission. He says, in our strivings to acquire the things that the Tana of the Mishnah says, we often act in a way which is counterproductive to the goal itself. One way of a person wanting to be considered that he's extremely wise is he doesn't consult with anyone else and he dismisses what everyone else says. He's afraid that if he reaches out to others to consult with them, that it will be considered a lack of wisdom on his part. Will be considered a lack of wisdom on his part. So he doesn't consult. But the person that doesn't consult, what's the result of it? The result of it is there's a lot that he doesn't learn himself. Very few people are such masters of any field that they can learn the entire field on their own. The greatest people usually are mentored by the greatest people in their field that lived before them. And then with their enormous abilities, they expand upon it and they become very, very great in that particular field. But along the way, as you go in there, and even when you get there, don't assume, the Tanna tells us, that you will grasp everything. You may, in fact, be the greatest in your field, and you're dealing with a particular problem. But it may be that a person that's relatively insignificant compared to the chokhmah that you have will give you an idea, and it may be a very nascent idea, one that he doesn't have the ability to develop, which will resolve the problem for you. And that's why it says, Ezehu chokhmah, who is the person that's truly wise? Aloy min bikolov. He uses every opportunity to learn. Every person that presents an idea for him, he considers it. What it will do for him. How it will advance his knowledge. There's a very famous incident, as we know, the greatest disciple of the Vilna Gaon was Reb Chaim of Volozhin. And Reb Chaim of Volozhin once came to the house of the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon's family told him that they are alarmed. It's 2 days already, and the Vilna Gaon has not stopped to eat. He's been learning around the clock for 48 hours straight. What's the problem? He is confounded by a difficult sukkah. He has a problem that he can't resolve. And he is so possessed by the problem, he will not let himself be distracted to anything else. And it's now 48 hours since he's eaten, and he's still going at it. And they're afraid that this is going to have a deleterious effect upon his health. So he asked Reb Chaim Volozhin to please go in and speak to the Vilna Gaon. And maybe something will come out that the Gaon will be satisfied, and the Gaon will finally say it's time to take a break to eat. So Reb Chaim Volozhin went in and he asked the Gaon what's the problem that troubles him. And the Gaon explained the issue, what has confounded him. And for 48 hours, he's stuck. And Reb Chaim Volozhin had an idea, and he mentioned some idea to the Vilna Gaon. Not a conclusive answer, an idea, a different perspective a little bit on the matters. And from that, the Vilna Gaon thought for a moment, and the Vilna Gaon grabbed Reb Chaim Volozhin's idea and developed it as only truly the Vilna Gaon could develop it. And with that, he resolved the problem. The Vilna Gaon visibly relaxed, and then he went, he said, it's time to eat. Now, no one of his generation, not even Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was considered the Gadol HaDor, the greatest Talmid Chacham of the Dor, after the Vilna Gaon had passed away. But the Vilna Gaon was a million miles ahead of anyone else of his time. As Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote about him, he was as great as the Rashba, and perhaps even as great as the Ramban. Figures that had lived five centuries before him, of the greatest of the Rishonim. He said, that's where the Gaon was, in that league. And yet Reb Chaim Volozhin was able to come, hear the problem, and offer some insight, undeveloped fully, which the Vilna Gaon could then take and develop with his abilities to resolve the issue at hand. Is Ezehu Chacham Aloy Mid Mikolov. It learns from every person. Sometimes that's why Chazal say Mikol Olam Da Yiskalti. From all the ones that I teach, I've become wiser. Sometimes when you teach little children, little children have amazing insights. The things that trouble them, their questions, are sometimes very, very sophisticated, far more than they understand themselves. There's a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Arvei Psochem, in the 10th paragraph of the Sechta Psochem. I don't know how many times I've learned this Mishnah. Endless times I've learned this Mishnah. I can tell you this, the beginning of the Mishnah, I can tell you about Peh. Like Arvei Psochem, Somach, Laminachol, Yochol, Odom, even the impoverished among the Jewish people should not eat until he leans. As we know, we have to lean at the seder when we drink the four kosos, when we eat the matzah. And I learned this Mishnah many times. A boy, a pre-bar mitzvah, maybe 10 years old or less, one day asked me a question. And he said, Rabbi, he says, why did it say, Afilu Oni Shabi Yisrael? What do we mean the word Shabi Yisrael in the Mishnah? And I stopped to think, you know, he's right. When we start Shas, we say, Na'ima Sai Koran Shema Barov, From what time do we begin the recitation of Kriya Shema at night? Does the Mishnah there say Me'emus Haikoyrin Yisrael Shema Barom? No, why not? Because the Mishnah is obviously, this is Torah. It's the Merosh of Klal Yisrael, Merosh of Yilas Yaakov. Who else are we talking to? So who else is the Tana of the Mishnah talking to? The non-Jews have to do a Seva on the night of Pesach. Who has to do a Seva? So what is the right of Onisha B'Yisrael? An awesome question. A question that never crossed my mind. I learned the Mishnah many times before this child asked this question. And from this question, I realize a remarkable insight into the understanding of the Mishnah, of the question of a child. The Tana wants to know, why is it that a poor person should do a seva, should lean on the night of Pesach, should have a couch, etc., as they did in the Talmud Gemara? This was the practice of the rich and the nobility. A working man didn't have the wherewithal to live like this, but he had a servant that was going to bring him his food. He didn't eat like this, so why in the world should he have to eat like this in the night of the seva? So Rabbeinu HaKodesh snuck in a word that only should be Yisrael. He's part of Klal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Abnei Melachim. We are the sons, princes of the king. Right? The Rabbeinu Shalom said in Parshas Yisrael, "V'mamleches Kohen, v'goy kodesh, v'oni matem l'Hashem Elokecha." So we're princes. We're a prince. It's appropriate that he celebrate in such fashion. So the Tara added, he snuck a word into the Mishnah, and we so simply go right past that word. Without asking ourselves, what in the world is this word Yisrael doing in the Mishnah? And it took a child to point out to me that this word Yisrael does not seem appropriate in this Mishnah. And he opened my eyes to a new lesson. It's Ezel Chacham Alayim in the Kolonim. You can learn from everyone. You have to seize that opportunity. The diverse Yisrael gives us another insight. He tells us the following. Alayim in the Kolonim. Our goal should be to learn from every single person that we meet in life. When we meet a person, we observe certain things about him, his demeanor, how he interacts with other people, how he dresses, how he carries himself. All of these issues we should observe. If we're impressed with the way he acts, so we should learn from him, what can we emulate? What can I pick up from him that I haven't yet locked in on that would be appropriate for me to act in that fashion? And if on the other hand, I meet a person that's inappropriate, so I should learn all the things in life that I'm not supposed to do. Make sure not to do this, what he does, and make sure not to do that, which he does. So that's also a learning because every time that I meet a person, it should be a learning experience. I should pick up on his strengths. If he's a person of character, and if he's a person of deficient character, I should learn what to be careful about. The Sforno writes that the Chumash tells us about great tzaddikim and some great rishon. From the tzaddikim we should learn what we're supposed to do. And from the rishon we should learn that which we're not supposed to do. So that's Ezu Chocham Aloy Mid Mikolori. Shenamar Mikom Olam Da'yiskalt. Ezu Gibor, he continues, what is strength? Now one could say strength is a person that has great physical strength. If anyone stands up to him, he can destroy them. No enemy can get the best of him. But he says there's a much greater strength than that. Because Ezehu Gibor HaKayvash is Yitzhar. If a person can muster inner strength within himself to control himself, that takes much more gvura than all external strength. But he's talking about the fact that means a person is compassionate. He doesn't use the advantages he has in life to abuse others, even if perhaps at times they're somewhat worthy of taking it on the chin from him. But nevertheless, he doesn't do so. But not because he's too soft-hearted. There are people that are too soft-hearted. They can't do what they're supposed to do. You know, they could look a murderer in the eye, and they have a gun and they can't shoot him dead. And he's about to kill people. It's the too soft heart. That is not a mila. A mila is that he has the strength and he has the ability to do what he's supposed to do. And he decides in this particular case, a murderer I can't have compassion on. I'll take care of him. But people that have done things in life that they're not supposed to. They've acted inappropriately. They've slighted me. Some of them slighted me publicly, perhaps. But I have the gvuras hanefesh, the strength to control myself, not to lose it. And that is the ultimate strength, to control oneself. In general in life, I like to learn from people that are experts in particular things, whatever they may be. If I want to learn something, I want to find someone that's mastered that particular discipline, and then ask him how to do it. A person that hasn't mastered it has all types of ideas, A, B, C, D, E. But I don't know if any of them are worth anything because he himself didn't get it. But a person that's succeeded in a particular undertaking, so I'll ask him, what's the keys to success? So he actually did it, so I have what to learn from him. That's in general in life. I've always tried to learn from people that are extremely accomplished in some area, to learn from their insights. Well, Shiva Zatzal was a person that had absolute control of himself. He never raised his voice. He never expressed himself in an angry fashion, never. You can imagine with all the awesome pressures that he was under, the responsibilities to run a yeshiva, the financial pressures, the Talmidim pressures, awesome pressures, constantly, nonstop, relentlessly. And yet he never lost himself. So I asked him one day a question, which I knew that he has to have the answer to. I said, you tell us that the person should exercise self-control, not express his anger. Okay, I understand that. I said, but the psychologists say if we act in such a fashion, we're going to be frustrated. I have all this pent-up anger that I haven't vented. So it's going to make me an angry person and distort my personality. So what's the answer? How could I live with it? So he gave me an answer, and I realized from the answer that he gave that this was something, was a deep insight that he had in how he lived his life. Said that exercising self-control is a tremendous sin, it's a tremendous joy that I succeeded in exercising self-control, that I didn't lose it. And the joy of appreciating my accomplishment will mitigate the negative feelings I have towards the next person. They won't affect me negatively. So I realized this is how he lived his life. How was he a kavish as Yitzhak? He had such gvura. Such gvura. I lived in his house for 3 years. It's a person that never grew, he was never angry, ever. How did he live with such gvura? And he was a very sensitive person, and extremely astute and clued into what was going on. Because he had that simcha sechayim. To exercise self-control with his leaders was a joy to him. Consequently, he didn't have difficulty with it. It was something that he appreciated, something that he celebrated. And if we celebrate our Guras HaNefesh, then we're not going to feel frustrated that we haven't bent it. It's an amazing, amazing insight. But this is from a person that actually did it in his life in this fashion, in an unusual fashion. Ezehu Osher, who was a person that's wealthy, has Sameach B'chalko. A person that is Sameach B'chalko. He's happy with his lot. Many people in life, they're not happy with their lot. They have competitors, and their competitors, even though they earn a living, but the competitors are also earning a living. I'm not greater than my competitor. I don't have more money than he has. The guy across the street has a fancier house than I have. His car is nice, 2 years newer than mine. You know, his wife has more jewelry. And it eats me up alive. Beats him up alive. Who's rich? Rich should bring with it a certain satisfaction. That my needs are well taken care of. I spoke to someone recently, and in the current crisis that we're in, he says, listen, it's good to be comfortable. You know, I don't have to worry. I'm not worried about taking care of my basic needs. My family's needs are taken care of. It's my financial position is such. So Eizu Osher is Sameach B'Chalko. But a person that's not Sameach B'Chalko, he's always looking to get ahead of the next guy. So he doesn't have any joy in what he has. He wakes up in the morning and he's frustrated. He has $1 billion in the bank, but there's a guy in Forbes that's still ahead of me. I've been trying to catch up to him for the last 5 years and he's still $100 million ahead of me. It destroys me. My son Chesky told me that he was once driving with someone and it was a person, I guess, a car for hire, a bus for hire, and he was driving. And the guy told him, listen, I have, you know, my goals in life. I have two things that I want to live for, an elderly person. One of them is the road that I'm driving you on is unpaved. So one of the things that I look forward to in life is when they're going to pave this road. And the second thing that I look forward to is there's another guy in town that runs a bus company. He says, I'm looking for the day that I put him out of business and destroy him. These are the two things I want to live for, that to get the road paved and destroy my competitor. He wasn't suffering. He was earning a living. He had a company for many years and it was doing well. But he had a competitor. When I destroy my competitor, I'll be accomplished by goal in life. That's what the Tana tells us, Ben Zoma said. And as I said, in his youth, it's amazing that he understood. He became a great Chacham in his youth. And in his youth, he understood Ezu Chacham Hanani Mikolot. This is not something he understood when he looked back after 85 years. In his youth, he had the insight of how to be a Chacham and how to get to learn very quickly to become very great. And he also had the insight in life, that if I'm pleased with what I have, then I'm a Sameach B'Chalka. But a person that's not pleased, that always wants more and more and more, so he eats himself up alive. He's jealous of the next person. I don't have what I need. He's earning money that he'll never succeed in spending, no matter how long he lives. But he's driven. He has to come there. He's up at 6 o'clock in the morning. A lawyer once told me that one of the foremost corporate raiders in America, I don't want to mention him by name of the share, it's inappropriate. So he was closing out a deal. And a person that I spoke to was one of the lawyers that was finishing up the deal, finishing the paperwork on the deal. So the lawyers of the two sides were meeting. It was 3 o'clock in the morning and they were still working through to finish up the papers for the deal. He says, and this corporate icon is in the hall, stalking the halls at 3 o'clock in the morning. What? He doesn't have to be there. He has his lawyers there. They'll take care of everything and everything will be done. He lives for the chase. That's what he lives for. So he has to be part of the scene at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was accomplishing another corporate takeover. And that's what the Tana says. If a person's goal is to take care of his needs, that's what he's sets his sights on. He's not asking himself, if I'm going to move up 10 numbers this year on the Forbes list of 400 richest people in America, then he has a chance that he could be a Sameach B'Chalka. And he's a Shrecha B'Toivloch. In this Yagir Kabecha, is Ashrecha B'Toivloch, Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh, because he lives with satisfaction. B'Toivloch L'Olam Haba. And it's good for his Olam Haba too. Why? Because he doesn't get involved in shady practices. There are people that, because they have to get ahead, and come what may, so they engage in things that are immoral and unethical, because this is the only way that they know how they can get ahead. And finally, Ben Zoma tells us, Ezehu Mechubet, who is a person that's honored? So within the person that's honored at times is a person that breathes fire. Everyone stands and shakes and is afraid of him. And he's honored. Oh, he's a chosh of a man. He's a powerful man. So Ben Zoma says, you don't get it. A Mechabet is a Brius. It's a person that honors others. If you use your position to put others down, to make yourself kosher, so they may have no choice. To your face, they'll honor you, but behind your back, they'll smash you, and they'll consider you a person, a foul person, a person of low midas, and they'll rank you out behind your back. So you're not going to become honored in that fashion. If you don't understand how to give kavod to other people, then those people will be mechabed you. And more than that, not only will they honor you, but the Rebbe Shlomo says, "Ki mechabda achabed." Those that give kavod to me, in what sense do they give kavod to me? A person is a tzelem elokim. And therefore, if a person gives kavod to another human being, he recognizes the divinity of another human being, and he's honoring the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, "Ki mechabda achabed." Those that honor me, I will honor, the Rabbeinu Shalom says. I will bestow honor upon them. So it's the person that goes out of his way to be mechabed other people, is concerned for the kavod of other people. That's the person that's going to be mechubed. And it needs a lot of times a great deal of sensitivity to understand what another person means, what it gives to, means to give kavod, what it means to give kavod to another person. But the person that just seeks kavod because he wants to make himself self-important. So someone told me he used to go to a yeshiva dinner, and there was a very wealthy patron of the yeshiva, and he fancied himself a chazan. So he liked to sing chazonis at the dinner, but he was not a very good chazan. So he had his place, and he sang the song before the crowds of hundreds of people, but the people smirked. This is a chazan, it's not a chazan. But who gets honor? I'm a chabad as a brius, the person that knows how to honor other people. That's the person that gets honor. I used to visit a nursing home, and it was an African-American woman who was in the dietary department. I spoke with her one day, and she told me she had worked in Fort Troy, a nursing home, before she came to the one that she had worked in at that time. And she says, "Oh, there was this rabbi from Washington Heights, Rabbi Schwab, such a gentleman, such a very special person, how he honored every person, he treated every person that he met with dignity." And this was years later, in a totally different place, and she was still singing the praises of Rabbi Schwab at the time, because he was a mechabed as a brius. The way to get ahead is not to put others down. The way to get ahead is to honor other people, to be sensitive to their needs, to be mechaber as a brius. And a person that masters being mechaber as a brius is a person that the world will be mechaber. So Ben Zalman, in his youth, understood life very, very well. He knew how to become a chacham. He's telling you, "Listen, I accomplished a great deal. Became one of the great chachamim in Klal Yisrael, despite his youth." So certainly we should listen to what he said. To the Ezer Chacham, Aloy Medikolodim. And if he is a chacham, then he has what to teach us about life. Ezer Gibor, and Ezer Osher, and Ezer Mechubot. But it stems from the fact that he was a chacham. And he taught us his secret, how to become a chacham. How did he become a chacham at such a young age? One of the Chachmei HaMishnah in his youth, because Ezer Chacham Alayim Ad Mikolodo. So therefore I find it striking that Ben Zoyma is the Tana of this Mishnah, because he's telling us he accomplished an unusual amount of his Chacham, but he's telling us how he accomplished it, because he was Alayim Ad Mikolodo. And therefore he's sharing his personal key to success with all of us, and this is something we need to keep in mind as we go forward. May the Rebbeinu Shalom grant that we absorb the lessons of Ben Zayma and we strive for excellence in the ways that he outlined in this Mishnah. A tefillah this evening on behalf of all Achenu B'nai Yisrael and all the Chaylim of Corona, that they should have a refuah shleima b'mehera. We beseech the Rebbeinu Shalom that he should provide a refuah, create some remedy for this terrible affliction that we're suffering, and that we should merit shortly returning to a normal life, to normal interaction with our friends and our peers in the Beis HaKnesses, in the street, in the stores, in Simchas. Until then, we should be mispalo fervently for ourselves and for all the Chaylin and for all of Klal Yisrael, that the Rabbeinu Shalom should resolve this horrific affliction, this horrific Mageva epic pandemic, which has affected all of us and all of Klal Yisrael. And we hope that soon, Be'ez Hashem, we will merit being able to come back together. It's almost 7 weeks since we're locked away in the house. And I know some of my listeners are locked away on their own. They don't have family. And as one of the people that calls me on the phone says, Rabbi, you are in house arrest, but I'm in solitary confinement. So we need also a special sympathy for those that live alone. One of the, I think, advantages of the Zoom is that all of us can feel a little bit connected with the world around us. We see the people that we know, they see us, we speak with each other. And we see, in fact, that there are other living people in the world. That Lot's daughters were right. She said, Yaitigi Shen Ba'aretz, like the world is over, the last one left.
Yeah.
So we see, when we get together on Zoom, that Baruch Hashem, that's not the case. There are others around, they're still here, and we're waiting for the moment that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam frees us from this difficult time that we're in. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.